Get out of my pub.
Get out of my pub right now!
I'm not going anywhere.
Hello, welcome to Get Out of My Pod. I'm Una.
I'm Nav.
How are you, Nav?
Yeah, not bad. Quite a busy week. I've had some, you know, changes in the household, but...
You've been doing some DIY?
I've been doing some DIY. I'm pretty handy, if I say so myself.
That's so impressive.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to think who is the handiest character on EastEnders. Like, we never see them doing much DIY.
We don't, do we? But in my mind, it's Mitch, but I can't think of any reason for that. Was he a builder or something?
Yeah, I also just 100% agree with you. There's a whole like vibe.
It's got a handy vibe to him.
Yeah, and because like you can imagine he was a bit of a kind of gig economy worker. So like you can imagine he picked up jobs like, you know, a bit of labouring, a bit of building, a bit of electrician's work. Like,
he had a van when he first came on the square.
Boom, that's it. that is the point proven, but we should maybe make a segment as to like who we think, like, you know, we keep this going as a segment, like we name a profession who we think would be most suited to it in EastEnders.
Yeah, let's do it, but they can't already have that profession on the square,
right? Okay, all right, let's see if we remember this new segment. But yeah, how are you anyway?
Oh, I'm really grumpy, to be honest.
Fair. Yeah,
I get like this, you know, when it becomes winter, because, you know, I hate winter.
I hear you. I am convinced, not diagnosed, but convinced I've got that seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, me too. I think, actually, I mean, is this offensive to say? I was about to be like, I think everyone has it to some extent, but then, you know, when something's like a clinically diagnosable thing and loads of people are like, oh yeah, I think I've got a bit of that. That's probably like not cool, is it?
No, I think you can have a bit of it. We're not, you know, we're not discounting the lived experience of those who have a lot of it. I do think probably we all have a bit of it. I mean, I've currently got two lamps on and the ceiling light on.
Classic sad. Just,
right, exactly. Yeah, I do have a sad lamp, but
does it work?
You have to. To be honest, the effort involved in knowing if it works isn't worth it. Like, I have to stare at it for 15 minutes every day. Now, arguably, I do have 15 minutes like that I'm wasting on some nonsense that I could use to do that. But yeah, I don't want to stare at light for 15 minutes.
Yeah, sounds long.
Do you know what I mean?
But anyway. Yeah, winter in this country, not my favourite. Can't be arsed with it. But at least we'll have Christmas EastEnders to look forward to.
Well, hey, and you know what? Because of how far they film in advance, it might be like weirdly sunny in EastEnders.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That would be lovely.
Might cheer me up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, have you got any EastEnders news?
I've got a little bit of news. I think I kind of did the same thing as you. I just sort of read the headline. So I don't know all the details. This is just a thing I sort of saw on social media. So apparently Lacey Turner, a.k.a. Stacey, has been getting some backlash for going on maternity leave a second time. Backlash from the fans.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's insane.
Bad, isn't it? You've got to let people have babies when they want to have babies.
I'm trying to figure out what the backlash is, and I don't think either is remotely justifiable. Whether the backlash is like pissed off that she got pregnant, which would be insane, or, and this is arguably, is it worse? I don't know if it's worse, but it's pretty bad. I don't know if the other option is that people are pissed off that she's decided to take her maternity leave.
Oh my god, I better not be that. That'd be so terrible.
I mean,
maybe people are frustrated. I could understand that people are a bit frustrated because she was away for a little bit and it was not very well explained or dealt with. And then she's kind of come back again, not been very well explained. And then obviously she's going to be leaving again. But it's not her fault, is it? It's the writers.
Also, best of luck to her. It's a real pain in the ass having a baby. I mean, I haven't had one myself, but I've seen people with them. So give her a break.
I was going to be like, oh, it's a beautiful thing. Second baby. How lovely for her. But no, you're
right,
like,
it's beautiful.
God, it's fucking hard work, isn't it?
It is, though, right?
Like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Big decision.
Give her a break.
She's literally just had a baby and now she's going to have another one. Like, well done.
Right. My niece and nephew are pretty much the kind of like same age difference as like what Stacey's two babies will be. And seeing, you know, my brother kind of, and, you know, them, you know, his family raise them, having two kids like that young at the same time, my word, is it hard.
Hard work. And, you know, absolutely. I don't have kids, but I do live with two cats. So I don't know what you're talking about.
You get it. You absolutely get it.
Just want some time to myself, you know.
Fair. Very fair. Shall we check ourselves on our predictions?
Yes. What was your prediction?
Well, I am now regretting my slight off-the-cuff prediction. So the listeners will be pleased to hear I have prepped a proper one for this week. But my off-the-cuff one last week was that Stuart and Rainey would have a gender reveal party that upended all the gender stereotypes and instead released black and red balloons to reveal the gender, in inverted commas, of their baby.
I mean, could still happen.
I mean, I hope it does happen, but if it does happen, let's be honest, they would have nicked the idea from us.
True. Yeah. So it could happen in, I don't know how far ahead they write it. It could happen in like 3 months or something.
Which is perfectly feasible, because that's when she might start telling people that she's pregnant.
Yeah, that's the 12 weeks, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably going to happen.
Let's see. What was your more realistic prediction?
My hopefully more realistic prediction was that the reveal that Gray murdered Chantelle will happen during Whitney's trial.
Yeah. I don't think the trial went exactly the way I thought it was going to go this week. So I feel like maybe that's less of a possibility now, but I think you were completely right to kind of draw the connection between the aftermath of Chantelle's death and Whitney's trial.
Yeah, because he's obviously like struggling with that himself, although he seems to be identifying more strongly with Whitney than with Leo.
Well, yeah, which is perverse, but also perfectly believable. So
terrible man.
Terrible, terrible man. And to give you a little preview of my thoughts of this week's episode, still a little unsure of his acting, but let's wait till we get there.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some moments in the courtroom I was a bit like, don't know about this, but what should we start with? Again, a lot happened this week, a lot of drama. I'm quite enjoying how they're like racing through some of the storylines.
Do you know what? Okay, I'm going to suggest we start with my favourite storyline of the week, much to my surprise, but it was the Free Jag storyline.
I was so excited about talking to you about this storyline. I really couldn't tell. I was like, I feel like Nav is going to either love or hate this situation.
I loved it. And do you know what? Like, before we get onto like Habiba, I thought Jags's acting this week was the best he's done.
Me
by
too.
Far.
He really improved, I thought. Particularly in the police station. I thought he was so good.
Right. So a bit unfortunate that it's come just as he's like about to disappear off screen. But I thought he was played it really well. And I just thought like Habiba was exactly who her character would be in this situation. And also, she's 100% right about the Panasars.
She is, yeah, very good intuition. She knows exactly what they're about.
Detective Habiba is back on the case.
Yeah, to be honest, I've got to admit, I did actually quite like it. The only bit where I was like, okay, maybe this has gone a little bit too far, is when she proposed to him outside of the police car.
As in, like, you thought that wasn't believable?
Well, I don't know. Believable isn't always my threshold for EastEnders for like obvious reasons. But it felt like maybe that didn't quite need to happen.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And like her kind of, you know, blocking the police car and the the police officer relenting through like a little bit of flattery. I mean, police officers, I can believe, would like, you know, like break the rules in inverted commas for bullshit reasons. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that being a scenario in which they would, you
no.
know. Yeah. Look, it was a little bit ludicrous. It was a little bit hammy. But for me, it was a ton of fun. So
It was
I was.
funny. I enjoyed it. I also I want a free Jags t-shirt. Free Jaguar. Free the
My
Jaguar
God.
t-shirt.
Right. And then just how quickly she got them made up and like everything was just beautiful. I loved it so much. Actually, on a kind of, well, I'm going to sound a more serious note. We're talking about EastEnders, so none of it's that serious. But it was interesting to see like Ikra and Ash like on screen this week. And were you a little bit surprised at how quickly Ash has kind of gone into like the family fold after like where the storyline started from in terms of her relationship with her family?
Very surprised, and I don't understand what's really driving that, because the thing that originally like brought her back into the family was Suki's cancer, and then Suki turned out to be lying about the cancer,
Right.
and then Ash just sort of got over it like straight away. So it I am a bit confused about like why Ash is suddenly so loyal to the family.
Yeah, I was like really, yeah, I was really, really confused. And we saw a bit of Ikra as well on the screen this week. I was also a little bit like, why she believes Ash over Habiba. Like, she doesn't seem to have any doubt.
Yeah, although I mean, I guess Ikra was always the one sort of pushing for like, well, look, Ash, they're your family, like you should reunite with them. So maybe kind of that's where she's coming from. But like, yeah, Ikra, her reactions were a little bit odd, I felt. And I very much, I mean, this is a comment on the whole week really, but I was feeling the social distancing like a bit more this week. I was a bit more like, oh, it feels very awkward that she keeps standing so far away from her girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, and I'll need to double check this, I might be completely wrong, but there was a moment in the Slater household where I felt like I could see the reflection in a screen. So I don't know if you know, they're using these like Perspex screens that they are kind of, yeah. So like when characters are sitting close, if you've seen the behind the scenes shots, they've actually got a big Perspex screen between them that they're taking out in like
Oh, I
post-production.
didn't know that.
Yeah, so I think I saw like a little tiny bit of reflection when Jean and Stacey were sat next to each other.
My gosh, wow.
Yeah,
Oh, I mean, it
yeah.
must be. It's hard work. It's all necessary. I get why this is having to happen. But, like, yeah, it felt a little bit more awkward for me this week.
Yeah. I mean, as you say, like, fair play for the efforts they have made, and on occasion, that's just not going to be enough. And it's a vast improvement on getting Gillian Telforth to dub a line. So yeah,
Yeah, they've improved. So,
it's
should
a
we talk a
lot
bit
better.
more about the Panda Stars, Suki? Suki is becoming a better villain by the day.
I know, but to the point where like I genuinely like really dislike like Suki, like the character. And I it's almost like it's not the same as like Phil, because like Phil has got like a villainous streak, but then he's got enough kind of heart there for you to like, let go a lot of his kind of, worst misdemeanors.
Yeah.
With Suki, where's the kind of heart gonna come from?
She's just cold. She's a full villain.
Can full villains survive like long term on EastEnders though?
Yeah, I guess because we have, like, right from the start when she entered, we've kind of had her, like, down as the next sort of big gangster on the square. So I think both of us really want to see her stick around for a long time. So,
Right.
yeah, at some point, she's going to need, like, a little bit of just something human. But I will say, like, I'm loving how much of a villain she is at the moment. You know, after they were in the Vic and Habiba gave her that cupcake and she came out and just threw it in the bin.
So
Story
fun.
brilliant.
I mean, the whole thing, like, there's that, there's like going after the Slaters, there's putting her own son in prison when she didn't need to because the case was dropped. She literally just wanted to get rid of him from the family. Like,
Yeah,
it's.
so is that just because he's been like a little bit like questioning things?
Yeah, like,
Because it felt
that's
very
that.
extreme.
Right. This is what I mean, though. Like, I currently, in terms of villains, put her in the, like, Archie category of, like, just irredeemable, like, deliciously evil, but like, just Archie was never going to survive long term. And I just right now don't see how Suki goes beyond like another year or two.
Yeah, she's definitely in the category of villain that like dies or goes to prison at the moment.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, I was a little bit with the Jags thing. I was a little bit like, have I missed something? Because like he was only really questioning the landlord thing, and obviously he was questioning the Martin thing a bit, but it didn't feel like he was about to like completely blow everything up. And also, Suki seemed like very annoyed about him being with Habiba, and I was just like, why? I don't know, like it seemed like almost a risk to go to the police about him for such a small amount of things.
I think she has kind of instituted so much like terror within her family that A, she knew she would get away with it, and B, I think it does kind of fit in with the character that she, even this mild irritation, she would like react in this like insane way.
Yeah, so you think it's kind of a vengeance thing as well? Just like, you're not being God. Real. Off you go.
Yeah, massively. She's insane. Wow. Well, the only small plot hole, though, for me, is at this point, why have none of the family figured out, like, so for example, Ash being at the police station, because Jags will have known by now that there isn't CCTV, and that's how Suki explained it to the family, that somebody was going to have to go down for the attack because they had CCTV, but that's a complete lie.
How would they know that though?
Well, they would they not at this point have had to tell Jags the evidence that they've got against him?
No, because he didn't have a lawyer yet, so he may not have like uncovered it, because like when Ash went, she was like, oh, I'm gonna get you a lawyer, we're gonna get you out of here. So like maybe he just hasn't delved into all of the evidence. But yeah, I agree, that would come out of court at some point, but maybe poor little Jags wouldn't put all the pieces together.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they don't leave that completely hanging, that like no one in the family figures out that the CCTV thing was a lie.
Yeah, I mean, surely that will be revealed at some point. I think maybe Ash will be the person to like figure that out and be shocked at just quite how evil her mum is.
Yeah, well, currently I'm disappointed in Ash. And actually another character that was worth chatting about who I also have a little disappointment with, but more understanding, is Kirat.
Yeah, he was completely passive about that, wasn't he?
Yeah, and obviously they're kind of doing it within the context of his grief. So it was a bit understandable. And then obviously we got the scene of, was it Keegan, like really getting angry with Kirat? Yeah, do you think like the Taylor's like reaction to Kira is like kind of fits in with what we've seen?
I would have thought that Mitch would have a bit more time for Kira by now.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously there was a moment in which it looked like they were going to team up against Gray. I think the biggest interesting turn in terms of like, you know, Gray getting found out this week is Karen being quite angry with Gray.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yes, Karen, go on. You're so right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a bit of a mad one not getting to your wife's funeral, isn't it?
What did you make of the funeral episode? I think that was Thursday's episode.
I was disappointed. Again, I understand the reasons. I was disappointed to not see the funeral properly. Like, I really think Chantal is a great character, and I wanted to say goodbye to her, and I wasn't given the opportunity. Yeah, it felt like a little bit underwhelming to me. But I'm on board with this whole like Gray cracking up over the court situation.
Yeah, I agree with you about the funeral, and I think they could have got round like any of the social distancing stuff by having a kind of quiet scene of like Mitch or Karen or both of them by the grave. Like there was definitely a lot they could have done to show a bit more of that. But actually, I'm a lot less on board with Gray cracking up at the courthouse.
Tell me about it. Tell me all about your feelings about this.
I think the thing is, they've gone down a route of kind of giving Gray some kind of, I don't want to say mental illness, but like, it's two things for me, is that they're really making him into a slightly kind of disturbed character, like, you know, the rocking back and forth, the kind of like, you know, the googly eyes like darting around the place. And this was before Chantel's death as well. They're really building up this sense that he's a real villain and a real bad guy. And A, I think that does a disservice to like the domestic violence like storyline. Mm. And B, I think I said it in the week of like Chantel's death, although I think overall that was like a really great week for EastEnders, I'm not entirely convinced by his acting either.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I get you there, because the thing that was always that I found so scary about Grey from like day one was that he was so kind of together and slick and charming on the outside, and then you saw this like terrifying, like controlling side of him in the house.
Right.
And to like see, yeah, to I see the how like him slipping into this sort of like slightly, kind of like, yeah, classically off the rails character doesn't fit in with kind of the type of abusive person that we saw on the screen before.
Yeah, and I think of like the scene he had with like the police officer, like everything is like he's now acting in this like, you know, hushed tones to then just getting angry again. And what I would have liked to see is like the cowardice that often comes out in like these situations of like him trying to kind of paint, you know, a sense of like a grief of like normality. Do you know what I mean? Like all these little things like that you kind of know that aren't universal, but like you often see in these circumstances of like, you know, somebody trying to deflect attention from themselves. And I guess there was a little bit of that in him trying to throw like the spotlight on Kirat, but like every all of his acting now is like, as I say, this kind of like, you know, whispered tones, or like everything is like, you know, yeah, really manic and what have you. And it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where that takes us to.
I do see what you mean with that. I guess another, a different way that I sort of viewed it this week also was this thing of, we've known Grey as this kind of like chronically insecure character. And there was like a couple of scenes where they went to couples counseling and he kind of briefly mentioned his childhood, and you can hear there's like a lot of issues, and it seemed like he always dealt with his insecurity and maybe like a bad relationship to his masculinity by having this control and this power over Chantel. And I wonder if like the thing that's being portrayed, or at least a way that you could interpret it, is him losing that control is causing him to like act out in other ways, and in ways that like appear more like socially jarring. Should we just listen to his court scene, and we can listeners, you can decide whether you think this fits in with his character.
All we do know for sure is that on the night of the 14th of February, he was found dead on the kitchen floor of number 25 Albert Square, and that Miss Dean has confessed to the killing. She claims it was an accident. So why didn't she call the emergency services?
How much are they paying you, to defend that evil monster?
Shut up.
Would the officers of the court please escort this gentleman out?
This isn't justice. It's a joke.
Silence, Craig. Stop, please.
Tell him, Whitney. If you had the chance, you'd do it again, wouldn't you? Leo King didn't deserve to live.
Yeah, I feel like it's just confirmed my opinion of that scene.
Anyway, I mean, we've talked about it for quite a bit. Just thought we'd play the clip.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll let the listeners decide which side of, you know, whether you think that was a good scene or not. But
so another person who was involved in this court case, who I actually forgot until this week it was involved in this court case, is Mick.
Yeah, and he obviously like had quite a big week in general with not only the court
massive case, but
dealing with like the revelation about Max kissing Linda, and obviously still dealing with the aftermath of the Frankie reveal.
Right. And I am still like, still a lot of unanswered questions for me here. Like, did Mick just have an affair? Is that what they're talking, is that what they're showing us here?
Well, it's interesting because there was that scene where he then, you know, said he was a hypocrite to Linda.
Yeah.
So like, obviously, you know, is Linda kissed Max kissed Linda and he was, you know, a bit pissed off about it, but then he was obviously reminded of his kiss with Whitney, and I don't know if he was also being reminded of an affair when he said he was a hypocrite.
Oh my God. Because they kind of took us on a little bit of a roller coaster. Like Frankie was like, you remember my mum? And then he went for a drink with Frankie. And then it transpired that Frankie's mum had actually left Mick. And it seemed like maybe Mick actually didn't even know about the pregnancy.
Exactly. And this makes me think maybe I'm wrong in thinking that Frankie's brother is also was also Mick's.
Yeah, because then I think Mick would have been a lot more disturbed about like knowing that the brother died.
Well, exactly. And also to not know about two kids would be quite a feat.
Yeah, yeah. I just really hope there's going to be some sort of explanation. I want there to be some kind of way that Mick just hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah, I hope so. And also, I need to understand a little bit more about where his head's at this week, because he's been very kind of like, you know, like moody and downbeat. And not all of it makes sense to me. And actually, one thing I wanted to bring up, and it's not something I'm an expert on, but I saw a couple of people on the EastEnders Twitter fandom saying they don't find the portrayals of panic attacks that realistic.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think they made the point, and they said, you know, obviously it doesn't manifest itself like exactly the same for everyone, but they made the point that like they always do it like he's having a heart attack, so he's always clutching his chest.
Yeah.
And like he collapses, and it's like yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert on it, but like it would be interesting to know a bit more as to like.
And they kind of use it for all these stressful moments as well. And I think I can see why it might feel frustrating to kind of have this this storyline about him having anxiety being deployed in like all these very kind of instrumental ways and different storylines.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, fair play to EastEnders for not just kind of letting it go, like as a kind of part of the character.
Yeah.
I know some people have been a little bit annoyed with like Ben going back to having most of his hearing back.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens. People get cochlear implants and people do get their hearing back. So I'm a bit more generous with that. So I think it's good that they haven't kind of like said, oh, he's completely fine now. But as you say, they are just deploying it like, yeah.
To be fair though, if I had to stand up in court and like mass either A, lie about, like thoroughly lie about something very serious, or B, admit to having lied about something that serious, I might pass out.
Yeah, and I think actually that him having a panic attack in that situation was, yeah, entirely believable. I could see myself being ridiculously anxious, particularly if I just found out I had a secret daughter. So I totally get that. I guess I just wanted to kind of explore whether, you know, the actual manifestation of the panic attacks are kind of good.
Yeah. I always room for improvement on that, I think. Also, side note, I'm really into Mick, like longer hair at the moment. Really enjoying it. Great look, I think.
I'm not. I'm really
You're
not.
You're not into it.
Well, it's funny because he mentioned it on the Secrets of the Square episode, basically saying it was the only like hairstyle that he was left with in terms of like options.
I like it. I like the different looks, quite sophisticated.
The slick back look, there's something a little bit sleazy 70s about it.
I'm just I think maybe I'm just a little bit in love with Danny Dyer.
I think you are, to be honest. This is like proof more than anything, like you are a fan of his terrible hairstyle.
It looks good this week. Oh my God.
fair enough. We saw a little bit of obviously the aftermath of the Max storyline as well, involving Mick. I'm getting the sense that this is now part of a storyline that maybe Max is going to get isolated.
Do you reckon?
I don't know, like I just kind of think like they've, you know, ruined that friendship, like, and his like link to the Carters. I don't know, everything I'm now seeing that involves Max, I'm like, is this going to be part of his departure storyline?
Should we listen actually to his to Linda and Max's conversation about the kiss?
Let's do it.
Look, it weren't because I was drunk.
What?
Well, the reason I kissed you weren't because I was drunk or confused. They're just excuses. All right, you ain't got to say anything. I know the score. I know you and Mick are a great couple, and I respect that, and I know you don't feel that way about me, and that's fine. I'm a big boy, you know, I can handle that. I just wanted to say it. You know, just once. Anyway, night.
Night, Max.
Oh, and thank you, David Gray, for, you know, telling us that was a poignant moment.
So I recorded that clip. My computer automatically saved it as Sail Away by David Gray.
Actually, just before we get onto that scene, there was a bit more like incidental music. I don't mind when they do it like that, how they did it there. Like, and I think there was another scene in Linda's flat where they had like Amy Winehouse playing. It's a little bit on the nose, but I think the week opened up with the like big, like over kind of chill music to Grey. And I thought, you need to stop doing this.
I'm into it, you know. I like a bit of extra drama.
I remember before the hiatus, you were not happy with it.
Was I fully against it?
You were fully against like the music, like the big.
God, I'm so fickle. Now I'm just like, yeah, this is great. I really like it. It's like the OC or something.
But then, do you know what? I tell you, on a kind of more serious note, it does bother me a little bit because, like, I was watching some classic EastEnders. And I was watching something where they were talking about like why EastEnders was created, and it was like they wanted to create like a really realistic soap, you know, and portrayals of like working class lives.
Yeah.
And I think when they do that a little bit, and particularly doing it for like the Grey scene where, and you know, the Linda scene where they're the kind of more middle class people of the square. It's a bit like, I don't want to see like a kind of Dr. Foster or like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not watching EastEnders to watch like an ITV, like 9 o'clock drama about like people who live in like, you know, £1 million houses.
Yeah.
I want to see something a bit more gritty and realistic.
Yeah, I do see what you mean. Like, it'd be a shame if they went too far down that road, but, I'm cool with it at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's monitor it. I hope it doesn't go too far and maybe a bit less David Gray as well.
Yeah, I'll be up for that. No more David Gray, please. But that exactly. So that scene with Max, I felt like that was a little bit of Max going back to his old ways, because they just had this chat where like you're like, okay, let's just move on, we'll be friends, and you know, let's just put that behind us. And then he just couldn't help but like stir it up a little bit before he left.
You know, it's weird because I remember, you know, we've had the conversations about kind of Mitch and Karen, and I've been, you know, firmly of the opinion that Mitch is a dick for, you know, revealing his feelings to Karen while she's with Billy.
Yeah.
But then weirdly, and I don't know what it is about Max, but he shouldn't have said that. It's pathetic. It's selfish. And yet, despite all of that, I felt so sorry for him.
That's how he gets you now. He would be irresistible to
Mitch
you as well.
You though.
Would not, if you were in EastEnders, you would not be able to resist having an affair with him.
Well, but you know, there is something about that honesty which is so pathetically endearing.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't know, I'm just a bit like, and he does it so well. But then you obviously are kind of susceptible to, like, Mitch's, like, you know, ridiculous, like, selfishness as well.
Mitch can do no wrong in my eyes. He's the perfect man after Mick.
Oh, it's weird how like you can throw away like kind of principles like just because of how much you like a character,
yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah, and I love Max, but I thought that was extremely manipulative. But that's fine with me. Like, I'm quite excited about this Max and Linda storyline. I don't think that's the end.
Well, it was interesting that to disguise you know, her admitting to like having a drink, she threw Max under the bus.
Very interesting, and obviously rocky times ahead for that marriage.
Yeah, and I wonder how long they're gonna keep the Frankie stuff a secret. And all respect to Frankie, like, she's like decided, you know what, fuck it, like, I'm here, I've, you know, not had this person in my life. You can maybe argue it's a little bit selfish, but I like the fact that she's decided that, you know, she wants this relationship and she's going to go after it.
Yeah, go for it, Frankie.
Go for it, Frankie. We've got a lot of time for Frankie. I think she's been really great.
Yeah, she has. Great new character.
Great new character, yes.
Should we talk about another... I've got no segue for this one, sorry.
That's fine. Let's go straight into it.
I said to you, like, maybe I can find something, maybe I can. No, should we talk about another storyline on EastEnders?
Let's talk about another storyline.
So, Balham, back to Balham. Callum's in deep.
Callum is in deep. He's discovered that he's being played by, what's the police officer's name?
Oh, I don't know, but I saw someone on the internet call him D.I. Dickhead this week, and it stuck with me.
D.I. Dickhead. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how they've kind of like taken this turn, which I think was relatively obvious, but I think it makes the kind of moral dilemma a little bit easier in that, like, we are going to now firmly be in, like, Phil's court.
Yeah, full on, like, pro Phil and ACAB. But I just want to ask, right, did Callum not realise that this was not, like, an official undercover operation?
Callum's an idiot, though.
Such an idiot.
He's a complete idiot. And I'm a little bit surprised, although I get that Phil is distracted by Raymond, but I'm a little bit surprised Phil has been entirely taken in by Callum's, like, I just want to be a part of the family act.
Yeah, I'm just randomly asking you questions about your work.
Right. Who are you going to meet? What's their name? What's their date of birth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, Phil's feeling vulnerable at the moment because of Raymond, so maybe he's, like, not got his guard up as much as as he normally would. But,
Broody Phil.
Yeah, I don't know, like, where do you think this is going? Like, do you think they're going to spin this out for a long time? I don't know how long Callum can get away with wearing a wire for in his own home.
I genuinely don't care about this storyline. Like, it's like, the Balham stuff, I feel like they could have just given it a break for a bit, like, once kind of, you know, Ben gets his hearing back, like, I just kind of felt like, just leave it. I would have even coped with the idea, like, of, like, Callum being in the police force and that not having an impact on, like, the Mitchells. Just, you know, put them in the background for a bit, and I just feel like they've added this, like, extra development to a storyline that has been going on for absolutely ages, and I don't care.
Yeah, I'm with you, to be honest. Like, the EastEnders fandom is probably not going to like it, but I'm out Balhamed.
Yeah, and you know what? I would care more about Balham if they gave it a break for a bit.
Yeah, if we just didn't see them for a little bit and they come back and be like, oh yeah, Balham, wonder what they're up to.
Right, and there's loads of characters whose relationships aren't, like, always in the foreground.
Yeah, true. But they've got, like, a limited pool to work with now, haven't they? Because of COVID, obviously, like, several people are not back at work yet.
Yeah, fair enough. I just would have preferred to kind of see something a bit lighter with for those guys. And I'm struggling to give a shit.
Do you know who I did love seeing on screen this week, though?
Who's that?
Little Lexi.
Always a dream to have on screen. She is coming into her own.
I was thinking this week, like, is she the next Maisie Smith?
I think so. I think quite possibly. Like, I hope she sticks around long enough. I think what was nice about Maisie Smith and, like, the trajectory of, like, Tiffany was that she was off screen for a bit. So it was nice to see her kind of come back, like. I'm not saying I want Lexi to leave, but that should be a fun character to follow.
Yeah, I just love her attitude and her cheekiness. And I think that, like, she's a very convincing Mitchell. And, I just feel like that actor is getting better and better as well. Great to see.
And I'm still hoping for a friendship between Amy and Lexi, particularly now that, like, Jack has got this kind of, you know, feud going on with Phil.
Yeah.
It will, hopefully that will be, like, a complicating factor, like Lexi being good mates with Amy.
Yeah. Yeah, I do really want to see that. I was a little bit disappointed to not see any more of kind of Amy and Jack on screen this week.
I guess they're limited by the number of hours, like, the kids can actually work, so.
Oh yeah, they are, aren't they? Oh, God. So annoying.
You had to complain about working conditions.
Yeah, so lazy, those children.
And that's Stacey going on maternity leave.
Absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
So there's one big storyline that we haven't talked about yet.
Absolutely, the Slaters.
The Slaters. I really enjoyed like seeing all the Slaters together again.
Yeah, and I'm glad like Stacey has kind of gone back to like who her character is, and they haven't gone too much down the road of her being this like sassy woman with loads of money. Like, I'm glad that's completely kind of fizzled out.
Although it's fun for a little bit.
Right.
Should we listen to a little clip of the Slaters all together again?
Let's do it.
What sort of tightwad puts drachmas in a kid's money box?
Nan, who else?
Must have been that time she got locked up in Mykonos. Besides that, I've got £3.17. What's the score, Jean?
£22.31, 5 buttons, and an earring.
I've been looking for that for ages.
That's fine.
I'll give you 10 drachmas for it.
She wants her money this week.
Well, it wouldn't be a problem if you hadn't spent all of Ruby's money on designer gear.
Well, I can vlog it online. That'll cover the rent this month.
You can't do that.
It's my fault Sookie put the rent up.
You can't. I gave it to Ruby.
What? Why would you do that?
That's why I like to see my happy, loving family.
She's going to put us out on the streets.
Trust me, she
will. There we go. You know what I loved about that scene is the fact that, like, Greece, I think, has had the euro for, like, 20 yeah. years. And like this is obviously from a holiday like Big Mo had in like the mid-90s.
Yeah, I thought that's really funny. And I also thought it was quite funny that like seeing Kush come back, and it was really reminiscent of when Martin was like the one man in that household, just sort of like this long-suffering person in the midst of all the Slaters. And they've kind of really like pushed Kush into yeah. that role now.
Oh man, they have got that dynamic like down so well, and yeah, it was just nice to see like all of them in one room. I don't know if you managed to watch it, but it just, I think that dynamic goes back to like from the start. But I got sent a clip of like the Slater's arrival on the square, and it's just like that scene was just so reminiscent of like the Slaters from their like very first scene, like lots of kind of bickering, but like a real kind of heart at the like
yeah,
you know, the core
brilliant.
Of the family.
And they're one of those families on EastEnders that like, you know, very comical, very sort of like larger than life, but they do remind you of like people that you know. Like I had this about the Taylors. The moment that the Taylors like moved on the square, I was like, oh, I know that family.
Right, massively. And actually the Taylors and the Slaters, like they're the kinds of families that like are the reason that, you know, EastEnders has like always resonated yeah. with me. And so I don't mind the fact of like, you know, the kind of Greys and to some extent the Carters, because although they're like from working class stock, they're that kind of like lower yeah. middle class, like kind of like group now. And I think that's, you know, good to represent that, particularly as like London has changed. But I hope it doesn't ever get away from like, you know, families like the Slaters and the
yeah,
Taylors.
Yeah, no, yeah, they are like, they're the heart of EastEnders, really, aren't they?
Massively, massively. And we got a big kind of foreshadowing of Cush's, like, likely exit being related to gambling.
Yeah,
addiction.
So that was kind of mentioned, like, maybe a couple of weeks ago when there was that thing about Martin. I can't remember what this was for yet, but like Ruby was asking Martin what he was doing, and then he was like, right. Oh, I was playing online poker and I was talking to Kush or something, or maybe I was playing poker with Kush. It kind of got mentioned.
I think they, you know, although we've kind of said how we like how some of the storylines are moving at speed, I think they've actually introduced this quite nicely. So I exactly had the same moment of thinking like, ah, okay, that moment when like he was up late playing poker with Martin. And obviously now they've accelerated a bit and it's pretty obvious where it's going. And also all respect to them for like doing a gambling addiction storyline, because I think it's an addiction that isn't properly explored, particularly in the age of like online
yeah,
gambling.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, such a prevalent issue. And I can only imagine how much worse that's got for people during lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if that's kind of where this is coming from, is that like Kush, you know, he had that, and because they kind of let go like of some of the stresses he was having like before the hiatus. Obviously he found out that I think Tommy had dyslexia yeah. and he was just really struggling in general to like keep on top of things to manage like Jean's illness and stuff. And then we didn't see any of that since the return. But I guess this is now maybe what they're suggesting, that like he's kind of funneled, like, you know, he's trying to, get some control again.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Like that he, I think it's quite a good continuation of that storyline, that obviously like there are a few things that they kind of had to just drop because of the pandemic and lockdown and having to stop filming. But then we've kind of seen like, you know, him, he was so overwhelmed back in like February and March as a character. And then, yeah, what that might have kind of morphed into under the conditions of lockdown.
Massively. So a part of me feels like a little bit sad for like where, you know, Kush's journey is going to go, because it's going to be really tough to watch. And I imagine he's going to play incredibly well, which is going to make it even harder to watch. But I'm also glad he's got the storyline as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that he has. And also, like, his character has actually been through a lot, because he had, you know, he lost a baby, he lost his brother, and we kind of haven't quite seen the aftermath of that, which, you know, as you say, is like a little bit of relief, because he is a really good actor and it's hard to watch like someone play kind of depression and grief really, really well. But I'm glad they're kind of not just like leaving all that stuff in the past as if he's just like suddenly gotten over it.
Yeah, and this is like with his kind of departure being announced, this is the perfect time to, as you say, like pull all of that back in again, and really give it a chance to kind of, you know, air and kind of, you know, explore like what it means for like his kind of mental health and addiction issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, so interesting storyline. I think it's going to be a sad one to watch. It is.
Shall we move on to something more cheery and, you know, for you to unleash your jingle?
Yes, please. So, my favourite bit of this podcast. Who is your EastEnder of the week?
It's getting more musical each week. Like, I'm such a fan. My EastEnder of the week is Habiba.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad, because I feel like you were just getting disillusioned with kind of, you know, it wasn't great last week. She hasn't kind of been like given her full potential, but you're back. You're back in love with Habiba.
Massively so. I think she, not only was it like tons of fun, like her, you know, Free Jags campaign, also, I just like the fact that they didn't completely kind of paint her as an idiot. And so they showed her having a little bit of insight as to, you know, maybe Jags has been set up by his family.
Yeah, I quite like that. And I sort of did like how Suki can also see that she's not like fully an idiot. And that's why she doesn't want her around.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice.
Go on, Habiba.
Also, if anyone's listening and you're looking at making some Free the Jaguar t-shirts,
oh my god, I wonder if I can I'm gonna see if I can get a screenshot of the design and maybe see if I can mock up something myself.
Please,
a new line for it. Get out of my pod, make it happen. Who is your EastEnder of the week?
I sort of already mentioned her, but my EastEnder of the week is Lexi.
I thought you were gonna choose Mick, but I'm glad you've chosen Lexi.
I did want to choose Mick. If I'm totally honest, I kind of wanted to choose Mick. But I was like, it's just a bit predictable, isn't it? And I just like that bit where Lexi was like trying to show Phil her dance, and she was just being like so energetic and so funny. And I was just like, she really reminds me of a young Maisie Smith. Like, I'm really happy to see another child actor like coming up through the show like that.
And also really good at acting. I think that's the other like thing that reminds me of, like, you know, Maisie Smith as well. Like, if you go back and watch, like, you know, clips from 2008, she was just brilliant. Genuinely, I don't know if she gets enough credit for how good she was in terms of, like, and just the range that she has.
Actually, on Secrets from the Square, did you watch the one where it was her and Zach Morris?
I did.
And she was kind of saying that she was just fearless when she was a kid. Like, she just had this confidence and she didn't doubt herself in any way. And like, I kind of see that in Lexi. I don't know what the actor's name is who plays Lexi, but she just seems to have like so much energy and just complete lack of self-consciousness.
Which is just like always like a joy to see. And I think actually even I saw on the EastEnders fandom that the actor who plays Ben said she's his favourite character in EastEnders at the moment.
Oh, that's so sweet. They have such a good bond as well. That's a side of Ben's character that I'm not bored of at all, is seeing Ben as a dad.
Yeah, although I feel like he's lazy when it comes to being a dad.
He is fucking lazy. Lola really picks up a lot of the slack there.
Have you ever seen him make Lexi a meal?
No, I have not.
It's unbelievable. But, fair enough. They've got a dynamic.
He's still Phil Mitchell's son, isn't he?
He is. What is your prediction for next week?
So my prediction for next week, I feel like I've already kind of implied this, but I think that Linda and Max are going to have an affair.
Wow.
I think they're going to have a full-blown affair.
Yeah, I kind of thought that's where you were kind of going earlier, but I am... Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, you tend to be right about these things, so I'm going to say I'm probably wrong, but... it's more out of hope that it doesn't happen.
What I think is going to happen is I think Mick is going to get more and more unpredictable and moody and difficult and not talking about what's going on for him. And it's going to push Linda away. And I think she's going to almost relapse. And then maybe Max is going to swoop in and save her again. And then it's going to become an affair.
And as much as I say I don't want that to happen, just particularly the way you've described it there, and also thinking about the characters involved, I think it would be an absolutely brilliant storyline.
Yeah, I think it would. And they're both just fantastic actors as well.
And also in another timeline, you could totally see Linda and Max together.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Because Linda, sometimes she reminds me a bit of Tanya.
Right. That's just who I was thinking of. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know what? I think you're probably right, and also I actually do want it to happen there.
I do actually want it to happen, with the caveat that as long as Linda and Mick don't actually get divorced, because that will break my heart.
I don't know, to be honest. I wouldn't mind seeing a period of time where they're properly separated.
Oh my God. It would be so sad.
I think it would be really sad, and I wouldn't want it to be permanent, but I would love to see what a kind of, single Linda and Mick are for a year, let's say, and then they can get back together. But I just think it would be a bit of fun to see them as as separate from each other.
Maybe Mick could move in with Mitch. You have a little bachelor pad.
Do you know what I mean? Right. That would be just tons of fun. So as long as they get back together, I agree with you. I want to see them back together. But in the same way that Sharon separate from Phil, and Phil separate from Sharon, they're absolutely great, but also they're always going to find each other.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, as long as they... Maybe I could bear that. They just need to be together in the end.
Yeah, which, I think it's that's, that's how they've written those characters, that they will always be there for each other.
They're meant to be. So what was your prediction now?
Well, mine is a lot less intricate. A lot less intricate than yours, and relatively boring. But I just think the inevitable storyline of Billy getting back together with Honey will start to happen from next week.
Yes, very good point. That's something we haven't talked about this week. We did see a little bit of them chatting. Right.
And that's kind of always what we've kind of wanted. Well, at least from my perspective, is that I've been happy for Mitch to be with Karen, providing that Billy is with Honey.
Yeah, and thank God the EastEnders writers have listened to you and they set it up.
Thank you very much, EastEnders. So yeah, that's my prediction. As I say, not as intricate as and exciting as yours, but maybe we'll see it on the screen relatively soon.
How do you think it's going to happen though? Because is she living with Billy, or she's not in that flat because the Panasars are there now?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think they're signposting it. I think they are being smart about it in terms of not making it, too easy. So now Karen has obviously showed a renewed interest in Billy. So I think that's good that they've not just gone oh, you know what? Billy's back with Honey, and Mitch has got a clear road to get back with Karen. So yeah, a little bit of bumps along the way. But I think it will happen, I don't know exactly how it'll happen, but I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, great prediction. And I think that you are right, it could happen next week.
It could. I think we have quite possibly wrapped up another episode.
I think we have. There's one last thing I just want to mention before we fully wrap up, and that is that last week we forgot to talk about Drunk Sharon, the actual star of last week's EastEnders.
Oh my God. I think that is probably our biggest crime we've committed as a podcast.
Absolutely outrageous oversight. So sorry to all our listeners.
Shameful. Shameful behaviour. And I think what I most loved about that scene, apart from, you know, Letitia Dean playing it like an absolute queen, was what we mentioned on the podcast that week about it being like broad daylight. So like her stepping out onto the square blind drunk at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Just what a huge legend.
She was just
magnificent. So such an icon. So yeah, we've wrapped up. We're going to play you out with a little clip of Sharon, but we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, inflatable guitar. That's what this is.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
I've won. I'm a winner. It's my round to... Oh!
Wow.
Oh.
She's had a good night.
Oh, dear. I better get myself home.
Yeah, probably ain't the worst idea.
Yeah, right. Get yourself home. So thank you, and good night. Toodle-pip. Oh!